Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Our text is the Holy Gospel reading for this day from Matthew chapter 8. Hear again these words from Jesus. Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? This is our text. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, our Lord, Jesus was right to be disappointed and even a little upset at his disciples. They had been with him all day, hearing his teachings and witnessing his miracles. And yet, when the storm came and threatened disaster, they came to him only as a last resort. What kind of faith were they showing as they doubted God's provision for their needs? The disciples were exhibiting a weak and defective faith. Jesus sure expected more from them, and I would too. After all, they had the privilege of walking, talking, and even reclining at the dinner table with Jesus. Their faith in this instance was hardly an example to be followed. They called him teacher, but they appeared to have learned very little from his teaching. But a more sobering thought arises when you find out that our English translations of Jesus' words just don't do justice to the original Greek. They soften the language a bit and dull the gravity of what he said to his disciples. He didn't ask them, why are you afraid, but rather exclaimed, what cowards you are. And Jesus did not hurl his angry characterization at them just because he was cranky after being awakened from a nap. Those whom he had taken aside from the crowds to teach in private the things pertaining to the kingdom were demonstrating just what faithless cowards they were. And in the New Testament, being a coward is no small matter. In fact, the word is only used in this story of Jesus calming the sea and in Revelation 21, where the Lord warns, as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, as for murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their lot shall be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. It doesn't sound like Jesus was trying to calmly comfort the disciples in the boat anymore, does it? His rebuke upon them is even sharper than his rebuke of the sea when he stops its raging storm. Now, having heard of the faithlessness of those in the boat with Jesus, it's all too tempting to scoff at them. But beware, dear Christians. While the Bible indeed records the accounts of what transpired in the days of Jesus, you yourselves are not so far removed from them. In reality, our Lord also paints a picture of your sinful nature in this story. If you consider yourself a disciple, a follower of Jesus, then you too have not been above doubt and worry. As sinners, your lives have not been focused and centered entirely on your Savior and Redeemer Jesus. Because there is none righteous, no, not one, there is no one who has at all times placed all their hope, placed all their trust, or looked for strength in Christ alone. Look at Peter, for example. He made the great confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He even told Jesus to his face that he would never fall away. And yet, when pressed and threatened with harm because of his association with Jesus, he denied him three times. We all make such empty promises to God as Peter did, and we all at one time or another fail to trust in him who time and again shows us his divinity and majesty, Christ the Lord. The disciples did not trust fully in Jesus when threatened with death at sea, even though they knew God in the flesh was teaching them and showing them miracles. So also do we fail to take our Lord's promises at face value, like the promises he gave to Job. When you are vexed to the point of despairing and crying out to the Lord in desperation, he says to you, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth from the womb and prescribed bounds for it and set bars and doors and said, 'Thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed'?" The Lord set boundaries for the sea so that the waves would not overwhelm the ship. He is with his people and has promised always to be so. And Jesus is with you every bit as much as he was with those who walked, talked, and dined with him. And his promise of the forgiveness of sins and providing for daily needs is for you as much as it was for his disciples. You too have had Jesus present among you. You too have been offered his gifts and have received his promises. You therefore have no more excuse than the disciples. But don't fool yourselves into thinking that you can be a better and a stronger Christian than those who have stumbled and faltered. And don't be deceived by those who look down upon you when you are weak, thinking that they are better. There are those in the Christian world who place their trust and hope not in the Lord Jesus and his gift of forgiveness, but in their own behavior and the apparent strength of their faith. They make themselves hypocrites in condemning you, for they do not see their own shortcomings, and they fail to take the log out of their own eye before highlighting the sliver in yours. But this fear and worry that our Lord rebuked so sharply out at the sea is not the disabling fear that overcomes someone in severe crisis. We are not surprised, and we can understand when despair overcomes us in calamity. The death of a loved one, national crisis, and the like. All of us have asked the question, "Why, God?" All of us have wondered whether he truly loves us when he allows bad things to happen. All of us have doubted his promises. But Jesus also rebukes the fear that tempts you and me in the world and modern culture that we live in. It is the temptation to fear men rather than God. Specifically, you will not be loved and accepted in our world if you are a confessing Christian. You'll be criticized, made fun of, and even harassed if you remain faithful to God. And everyone here has seen how our culture views the church. Jesus said the world would hate you even as it hated him. But blessed are you who are persecuted for his name's sake. For whether you are a student who will be brainwashed and deprogrammed by anti-Christian teachers, or an employee of an unbeliever who is not content to accept you as a Christian and feels the need to belittle you, you will be tempted to seek the approval of men rather than God. You will be tempted to deny him as Peter did. Let's face it. No one wants to rock the boat. We all want to be accepted. But at what cost? As a pastor, I face the temptation to please men in order to keep peace with them. But I'm reminded of a favorite Luther quote where he speaks about remaining faithful to God, even if it means angering those to whom he preached. He finally concluded that he didn't want to stand before God on the last day and have to explain why he feared the people rather than him who is the holy and righteous judge. In like manner, pastors don't want to upset anyone, but we also don't want God to say to us on the final day, "Why did you fear them more than me?" The devil tempts everyone to doubt the Lord and deny him before men. The devil tempts you to look elsewhere than to the Lord for protection, for provision, for hope. He tempts you to cower before men and do what is pleasing to them rather than standing up to them in faithfulness to God. Repent of the sin of spiritual cowardice and faithlessness that afflicts each and every one of the baptized. Confess your faith, though you want it to be strong, falters at times, and that you worry not only about your daily bread, but also about the opinions of others. God has promised to forgive you your sins for the sake of Christ Jesus. For Jesus' rebuke of the disciples was not the end of the story. He calmed the sea and saved them from the disaster that they feared, and saved them from so many other disasters. Matthew records for us that the wind ceased and that there was a great calm. And in the torrential storms of our life, our Heavenly Father has worked a great calm for you, and he bids you to look to him for all your needs. And while we certainly pray that he protect us from all sickness, from war and bloodshed, from accident and crisis, our ultimate petition is that he would preserve us in faith and deliver us from the evil one. He provides you with everything that you need to sustain this body and life. And while he does not stop all disaster in this world, for we are undeserving of such help, he gives us what no one else ever could, something that we are equally undeserving of, the forgiveness of all of our sins. The anger and the wrath that you have deserved on account of your sin, the original sin that is the root cause of all death, disaster and destruction in the world, has been assuaged in the atoning sacrifice of Christ. There upon Golgotha, where Jesus' blood flowed from his nail-pierced wounds, he took all of your sin, all of your guilt, and he suffered and died in your stead. Your debt to God is paid. God has reconciled you to himself. He no longer deals with you according to his wrath, but now according to his mercy. As Paul wrote, God has reconciled the whole world to himself through Christ, And while the sinful world rages and lashes out against the Lord, those who are in Christ have been created anew. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. God no longer counts your trespasses against you, and He remains present among you through His word in the divine service to strengthen you in faith. Hear once more how this great mystery of reconciliation was expressed in the words of the hymnist: "As by one man all mankind fell, and born in sin was doomed to hell, so by one man who took our place, we all received the gift of grace. We thank thee, Christ, new life is ours, new light, new hope, new strength, new powers. This grace our every way attend until we reach our journey's end." Be not afraid, dear Christians, but be strengthened in the faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Grant us hearts, dear Lord, to yield thee gladly, freely of thine own. With the sunshine of thy goodness, melt our thankless hearts of stone, till our cold and selfish natures, warmed by thee, at length believe that more happy and more blessed 'tis to give than to receive. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you have appointed your church to be a city on a hill, shining the light of your mercy into the world and gathering your own to receive your precious gifts of forgiveness, life, and mercy. Use us joyfully to invite and welcome our neighbors, co-workers, and acquaintances to join us in receiving your gifts. Heavenly Father, your Son commanded us to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the field. In answer to that prayer, you raise up men to serve your people with your word and sacraments. Bless all those who study for church vocations in our seminaries and universities, that their studies might build them up in the joy of your gospel and prepare them to share your word with confidence and love. Heavenly Father, your mercies are new to us every morning, and yet we often know the pain of sickness, injury, sorrow, and other frailties. In your never-failing mercy, remember those who have requested our intercession, that they might have healing and wholeness according to your will, and grace to entrust themselves to your merciful hands, as they endure with courage and hope whatever crosses and afflictions you are pleased to allow. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Together we pray the prayer the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all the holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.